Blog Talk Radio.
Follow.
cause Babylon is gonna fall in Armageddon. You better be ready for the fighting in the streets, cause the war gonna take place in Armageddon. You better be ready now, for when it's time for us to leave, cause if you're free, you're gonna feel the fire. Cause the fire gonna come in Armageddon. The fire gonna come in Armageddon. The fire gonna come in Armageddon. There's no place to hide, there's no place to run, here the Zion of the mighty J.
Hey, peace, and I say assalamu alaikum and black power. All right, today we're going to be doing a program with the Nation of Islam minister, student minister, Abdul Qadir Muhammad, and we will be talking about the upcoming event, the Day of Atonement. I also have my co-host on with me, Sister Cassandra Young.
Oh, yes, sir, I'm here. Assalamu alaikum.
Okay, all right, walaikum salam. We're still waiting on our guest to call in. You might want to send him a text just to remind him. Let's see. Also, well, go ahead. Also, while we're doing that, if you would like to open up in prayer.
Yes, open up in prayer. First, before I do that, let me first just bear witness, Brother Drew, that Allah came to us in the person of Master Barat Muhammad, and that He raised the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad up from among us, whom we believe to be the Messiah, and extended the Messiah and Jesus in our midst today in the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Yes, let me open in prayer. A prayer. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, praise be to Allah, the Lord of the world, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Master of the Day of Requital. Thee do we serve, and Thee do we beseech for help. Guide us on the right path, the path of those upon whom Thou hast bestowed favor, not those upon whom wrath is brought down, nor those who go astray. O Allah, we beseech Your help and ask Your mercy, for we believe in You and trust in You for all that we need. We are helpers in Your cause with Your apostle. Please grant to us success. Amen. Okay,
all
yes,
right,
sir.
All right. Let's see. We got us Sister Tracy. We say greetings to her. Just logged in. Tracy, I guess you know the title of the show. All right, Sister Cassandra, I guess what I do, I'll play another song while you see if you can locate our guest.
Yes, I'll do that. Okay.
All right.
Open in the name of the Almighty Creator Allah, God, who came to us in the person of Master Wallace Douglas Fard Muhammad. And in the name of His and our last and greatest messenger, the glorious, most honorable Elijah Muhammad. Never forgetting the words of the great Grandmaster Jay. Mechanical planet. Mechanical planet.
No, it ain't no game.
They can't understand it. My mechanical planet. Mechanical planet. Everything on this prophecy must be fulfilled in this. The reason why I came in is the will within the will is this. Ego tripping, body snatching, watching over my sheep. I don't ever sleep on this mechanical planet. Mechanical planet. They can't understand it. My mechanical planet. Mechanical man with the mechanical hand, with the built-in mechanical pen. He writes my mathematical plan. I also have a phone machine, likened to the Son of Man, to whom I reveal everything we wrote 50,000 years in advance. From this mechanical planet, mechanical planet, they can't understand it. My mechanical planet. Mechanical planet, mechanical planet, they can't understand it, my mechanical planet, scattered degrees from from the universal conscious mind state. The 25th scientist, Elohim supreme, great architect, trapped within the gates of the fleshly temple. We erected a selection to be master from the cradle to the grave. Suffering is inevitable, but the vehicle we utilize, limited by space and time, wherein which the many days bring about old age.
All right, we're back with you. This is your host, Brother Drew X. I have my co-host on with me, the mighty MGG, Sister Cassandra. Sister Cassandra, I think we might have a guest on with us calling out the 202 area code. Let me make sure we open up the mic. Let's see, 202, you on there with us?
I'm on the line right here, brother.
All right, peace to our brother, Sister Cassandra. I'll let you introduce our brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. I want to introduce a student, regional minister for the Mid-Atlantic and East Coast region, student minister Abdul Qadir Muhammad. He's been in the Nation of Islam for 38 years, and he's currently our regional minister out of Washington, D.C., in mosque number four, Muhammad's mosque number four. So let me bring him on. Assalamu alaikum, student minister Qadir.
Well, like salam, Sister Cassandra, and my dear brother Drew.
All right, peace, bro. We are glad to have you with us. Assalamu alaikum to you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Okay, I'm co-hosting tonight in the second day. So, brother Drew, would you like me to go ahead and just start off?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Please do.
Okay. Let me just let everyone know, first of all, about the task force. You know, it is a group of different organizations, the Nation of Islam, the New United Republic, the UNIA, New Black Panther Party. All of us have come together, you know, other groups as well, the TWS with our brother Khalil, and we all have come together really in unity to work towards and dealing with the issues that we face, and we just come together, you know, put our heads together on what we can do to, you know, to unify, actually, with the all the different organizations. But today, Brother Drew, I'm very excited because what we want to talk about is the Holy Day of Atonement that is approaching next weekend.
Oh, yeah.
On October the 9th, and as I was just saying, you know, in being one of the groups in part of the task force, the Nation of Islam, we want to let people know tonight, from the Nation of Islam perspective, what we bring to our people, what we have to offer our people, which is salvation. You know, and our work is about the resurrection of the dead. So I want to ask our student minister Qadir.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, yes, sir. What can you tell our people, you know, about the Nation of Islam as far as the transformative effect, you know, in really turning your life around, what the Nation of Islam offers to our people?
Well, first of all, let me just say to everyone I'm a little late, and I'd like to apologize for being a little late. But however, to get started, first of all, I want to thank the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, always and forever, and for his great teacher that has taught him, and I was blessed to see him one time, and that is the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And then for the great God that we do know, and that we were all introduced to by the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and this one is our God in the person of Master Farad Muhammad. Now, with my coming to Islam, as a young man, and made up my mind and made a selection in my lifestyle that I wanted to change and I wanted to do better for myself, there has been a complete program set out, laid out for young black men, then young black men today, to change their lifestyle in a transforming way. Mm-hmm. So from the, the corral of death, which is today still the drug life, the stealing, the theft, mm-hmm. the fighting, and so forth and so on. You know, you come out of that circle, and you're being invited to a circle of truth and prosperity and happiness, where you find there's true brotherhood and there's true, if there's a woman involved, true sisterhood and like true family, and you'll find out the real good quality core of how a black family operates. And this is what I have been introduced to. This is what Sister Cassandra is introduced to. And we all find out this lifestyle is great, with no drugs, no alcohol, just a straight life living and taking a peek into what really the hereafter is like. So I'll start off like that.
Oh, yes, sir. Absolutely. You know, okay, Brother Drew, I'll yield to you.
Okay. All right. We're just tag team. That's how we'll do it on the show tonight. Minister Kadira, I guess I just try to get some of your individual thoughts as you know, some of the things that our people face, as such as police brutality. You know, just the individual thoughts on how the nation, how you feel about that police brutality on the our brothers and sisters who are dying out here. So, what's the nation and your thoughts on that?
Well, dear brother, we've had for the last 16 years the organizing call for the man to get himself together, a chance to just get a spark back in his life. And the call was made from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan for the Man March. And then at that point right there, the opposing life that the brother was faced with, I would say the police brutality then, before he got in touch with this great word that day on October the 16th. You know, that day, we didn't need no interference with police involvement or police protection. They were there and they witnessed a crowd of men, 2 million men, conducting themselves in a civil manner. So now, before that, the call was made where Brother Farrakhan himself went to major cities throughout America, getting the men ready to come to Washington, D.C. for this Million Men March. Now, before that time, we do know that the lack of jobs, the not knowing how to take care of a wife or to take care and show respect to a woman, black woman, well, just women in general, but not knowing exactly how to make himself a better person, then these different lifestyles will have this young black man get into involved into the street life, and he finds himself running from place to place, from pillar to stoop, trying to find himself, don't know which way to go. And then again, here comes the police trying to help him and get him straight, but a lot of times it doesn't work. And then the harassment as a young black man is stopped for a violation of driving his car maybe too fast, or perhaps he's getting stopped on the street for just being too black sometimes. And it just being who he really is will cause the trunk of this police brutality to begin. Now, I can say this much. When you have young men that come up, as I have came up in my lifetime, that did not want to accept what was right, you know, and did not receive from the home the proper correcting from the mothers and fathers, even to a point where the father was never there. As then the young brother grows up by himself, he grows up under the guidance of his mother, and she does the best she can, and at some time she knew how to use that strap to keep him on point. At the same token, now, once this is corrected and a young man's life is in order, then he goes out and try to make something out of his life, and here comes this jealousy part, I would say, or this part where they know that we are beginning to change our lives and make our lives better. Here comes this harassment. Here comes this brutality of what they think someone may look like, but they may have the wrong person. And this I can say in today's talk, if you don't believe me, just try to shake the dust of Troy Anthony Davis and find out what happened to him.
Mm-hmm. Yes, 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 that's right. That is correct, sir. Also, you know, I'll ask one more question. I'll pass it back to Sister Cassandra. I heard that you came up in the era of the Dr. King riots. You want to speak about that?
Well, brother, not too early riots, my brother. Young child myself, you know, let's say riding a bicycle at that time, Now, that's a little bit too before my time in terms of being involved in it, but I don't around to even know Dr. King and that me and that little stingray bicycle was getting along pretty good at that time, you know. But that's that call his life being taken away from him. At that time, I was 12 years old.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
I was but the struggle, like they say today, the struggle of Dr. King's life and many more of us that have done good for the black man and black woman or the black leadership in general is a continual struggle that I take upon my shoulders to make sure that we get in touch with our brothers and sisters throughout America.
Yes.
Okay, Sister Cassandra, I yield to you.
Okay, thank you, brother. Mr. Kandir, you were just talking about the Million Man March, and I remember, you know, on the march where the minister was talking about the eight steps of atonement. Because I know I hear a lot of people nowadays where they talk about the march, and they don't really talk about it as what the purpose of the march was for, which was for atonement. So the eight steps of atonement that the minister talked about that day, can you share with us, you know, what the meaning of atonement is?
Well, I'll do the very best I can.
Yes, sir.
Brother Farrakhan referred to also during that great speech he delivered that day on the mall on mm-hmm. October the 16th, 1995. The biblical or the Bible reference he gave reference to, he gave us a great point of us looking at ourselves in terms of these words. He said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Now, that was an echo, and that is an echo today that was called out then. And then to have a person to come back in line with the Creator, to come back in the, let's say, the tone of the first scale of, let's say, the tone in the music scale. It is, of course, the atone. So it says atonement. So this atone has to have some vibrations. And back then, we was, let's say, counting the years of us being here in North America, being, let's say, in bondage, we got the count of 440-some-odd years back then. But it takes 444 vibrations to reach that exact eight tone. Once you take that tuning instrument and you strike it on a hard instrument and it comes back, it vibrates 444 times, which gives us the chance to line ourselves back up. Now, we're past that point now. So at this time, like now, we cannot be dishonest and say things that we know that are not true. Or we'll say things that we know for a fact that we are not to show off that we're misleading others. And that is to say this, if I see you doing something wrong and you know that you was seen doing it wrong, and we pointed out about that particular person, we're pointing out the wrong first about that person. That's step number one, point out the wrong. And then, number two, the person must see that, yes, I did do such, and then the second step is to acknowledge the fact that, yes, I did do wrong. Then the third step, if I can remember correctly, is to confess to that wrong. And then once you confess, I may not have it all in order like I should have, and I'm being honest about that, but it should be somewhere where we take the point of knowing how to atone for that particular step that we made. So we're going down a line now, and then we ask God for forgiveness, of what we have done, and then we have this point where we go to the point of reconciliation, restoration. I may have left one. I think it's repent. But at the same token, we get down to the bottom part where we say there is a perfect union with the person and God Himself. So repent would be, as a matter of fact, right after the part when you confess. But it's all eight steps. But each step is recognizable where you can see the words itself. It explains itself. You know, you got to confess. You was wrong. You got to repent. And then number five, you do something about the wrong. You give the person some sort of expected change, some warrant of, you know, you're going to do better. But that's the part about atonement. And then you ask your creator, and best as you know, your God, however you may call him by his name, ask him for forgiveness. And then there's the restoration, the reconciliation, then accepting responsibility. And then, of course, there's a part where we say, then there comes the perfect union at that time with God. And that is continuous work, and that's why every year it has to be an anniversary of the Man March, or else it'll just go away like the rest of the great days that we have had set for us by our people.
Yes, sir. Yes. Yes, because like I was saying, I hear a lot where people, you know, they're talking, especially on the blog, where they may say, you know, the Million Man March didn't do this for me, or, you know, wasn't successful. I think that they expected, you know, someone else to set up a business and build a business and, you know, build hospitals. I think that they expected the nation to do that or something. What are your thoughts on that, you know, as far as what the purpose of the march was? Because I heard student minister, our assistant to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, Student Minister Ishmael, say today that it was what the march was for was accomplished, which was for atonement, and that the brothers took a pledge, you know, that they will do this, that I will go and rebuild and do all of, you know, that they pledged to do. So what is your thoughts on, you know, how people are perceiving this and perceiving, you know, feeling that the nation should be doing all of these things for us?
The Nation of Islam has done so much where a lot of our brothers and sisters may not know and may not even recognize that we are doing such, because sometimes you may just don't want to see something when you really see it. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and those that spoke that day, they all stood, they agreed with the words of each other, and there was a commitment made how we would go back to our communities, and we would do such and such and so. We got back. With my own eyes, I've seen it happening. But with the powers that be, the immediate thought of power being taken from a power that existed, then they began to find ways to destroy the effort and the words of what we all committed ourselves to. And that was the destruction of Satan himself getting involved, trying to dismantle and take away the words and the committed ways that we all accepted to, of helping us to go back to our cities and change our lives and become better men and better husbands and better fathers and better sons, and better nephews to whatever family we were involved in, and go back and change our lives. That was one of the main issues. It started out pretty good, and then after a while, it began to drift off. With this introduction of this scourge of a new drug that came out, with the introduction of how even the acceptance of certain ways that the female was allowed to dress after that. See, all of this was by design to make sure that the progress that we did make with 2 million men was instantly destroyed by Satan himself, to make sure that this word did not spread across this entire country or this globe. As a matter of fact, when Brother Farrakhan got done after that speech, he took the words from there on a world friendship tour. And that tour took us around the world with the same words almost at the same time. Eventually, when he came back, they had already began to set up some sort of way to take the words out from us and make us travel back to the dead life that we once lived. Some of us, not all of us. And that's why today you kind of find it in the way where You want to know what did the nation do? We did a lot. If we can call back after that, the Million Family March, and we came right back down on the mall again, another 2 million. Come right back after that and have the Millions More movement. See, they came again because they do know we need a man to march, we need a family to march, and we know we need millions more to have a movement. Movement keeps us alive. And when you're moving, you're always going to have progress and a progressive step among us as a people. If there's no movement, then there's instant death, there's instant mildew, I would say, in that regard. Well, a point when you know folk are not moving, then they're just sitting around doing nothing and just letting their lives go away from them. So I'll put it like that.
Oh, yes, sir. Thank you. Okay, Brother Gerard, I yield to you.
All right. Well, thank you. This is very educational and very educational for all the ones going to be listening to the archives. Have a lot of brothers and sisters that follow the show, have brothers and sisters in that chat room. If you have any questions for Student Minister Abdul Qadir Muhammad, give us a call at 909-265-9220. Okay, Brother Minister, I was going to ask you another question. Our youth, we know our youth are killing our brothers and sisters at a rate that's not president. How are we going to reach the youth, Brother Qadir? What's your methods on reaching this youth for them hearing this message of atonement, of peace, of stop black-on-black violence? What's your views on that?
We need sponsorships, Brother Drew. Some of these council persons in some of these cities, some of these black mayors, some of these men that are holding money that they're doing nothing with but writing off in terms of tax expenses, why don't they sponsor a bus and sponsor tickets for the youth to go see Brother Farrakhan this coming Sunday in Philadelphia and around this area? Why don't they do that besides, you know, sending their money to Red Cross, where we have not seen what Red Cross has done for us yet? Why don't some of these same persons learn that when we need help for our youth, that one time ago in their lifetime, they was actually young themselves and they knew what they suffered from and what they did not have. Why don't we get some of these persons to actually get together and help to get our brothers off the street? There was three men walking in Washington, D.C. the other day, and I believe they was Christians, and was walking around the community just talking, and we passed by each other, and he was walking, he was saying, we just walking around making sure our young brothers are all right. What happened to that? We don't even check on each other no more. There's nobody talking to young brothers no more in the community. Nobody goes down and talks to them in the gutter part of our community where we come from. And once we get grown, get up, get our own places to go, we move out of town to the suburbs. Why not go back into where we come from, as they say in the old ways we talk back in the ghetto, and go back down where they shooting dice and talking, all the other kind of talking, you know, so they know that at least we came back and we care and we love our brothers. But no, we'll get our money and jump clean out of sight and don't return home no more. And when they see us again, they'll tell us our faces, we sold out. No, we cannot sell out. We got to go back where we come from, talk to our brothers, walk the streets, and be there with them, and even help our young women as well. So they need guidance. And the best that we have ever had is this generation coming up right now, because they are dealing with a time of life that I do know if we was in this time back then, you know, it would be a challenge, because we was not coming up when there was always murders with guns, gunshots.
Right.
Bullets tearing through your window. Young babies getting shot for no reason at all. We came up when people were actually having fist fights. And then times have changed. Now, just imagine if we was in these times now as a youngster. What would we do? We'd probably be worried every 5 minutes, because this is not our style. So, again, we have to find a way. Look at the word they changed over the years. And they say now, the poor gentlemen, they are just tearing up our communities and they're wrecking creation. And that's why they took away, and most of it is called recreation, because they knew that at one point, if they didn't have a center called recreation, we would certainly go out there, we would really wreck creation. So we got to find a way, brother, to just get to our people, get some of these community centers opened up, bring them to the mosque, have them go to some of these church functions, and get them involved with the word of God, because God is the main thing that they must get in contact with. Right now, they have a full degree on how Satan works, but they're not doing too good when it comes to God.
That's right. Okay, well, you said made a very good statement, Minister, when you said get some people to sponsor the youth to go and hear Mr. Farrakhan, and that's something we should push for the Black Nation Task Force, the Nation of Islam, and all other organizations that sponsor our youth. We're always looking for ways to get our youth to hear something. Let's sponsor a summit just for the youth. Let's get some bus. I think that was right on point right there, and it's because it moved me to thinking that we can do that. We can get some buses ourselves, and if we can get the minister, Honorable Louis Farrakhan, to speak to the youth, let's get the youth to him. Because I know when I heard the minister some 15 years ago, and I was in the street life, and I heard that, I'm talking about instantaneous.
Yeah.
I knew I've been going the wrong way. And from that forward, from that day forward, I've been moving forward. I have, a revolution in me happened. So I think, Minister Kadir, that was right on point, and that's a push that we could push for to get our youth just to hear the minister speak. And I think that will. You know, we'll sponsor, let's sponsor it where there won't be no excuses for the youth who can't make it. And that I think that'll be beautiful.
Yeah.
Very good.
Okay, thanks, sir. I ask you one more question, then I yield back to Sister Cassandra. On what's your point and the nation's point on domestic violence?
Domestic violence, brother. You know, we in the Nation of Islam, we don't allow no man to put his hand on a woman and abuse her and to have his way with her in terms of like she's somebody that is non-respected.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same token, we don't allow her to become disrespectful towards the brother or towards the man. But more so, the man has to show more respect for our females. Now, we don't call her by the name that you hear frequently used in the street when there's anger directed towards the sister, and it's the female dog named the youth, and she's not that. And then when we have that being a calling card for her, and then the brother is just the opposite. That's why he calls himself the word that they dog.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to eliminate that right now among the young folks, because they cannot come up with this new form of language. And then it takes it to another level where she cannot be my mother, and then at the same time, she's getting whipped on by my father.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot have these young children sit there and watch violence where the mother is raped by some boyfriend or something like that, and then he comes over there and then takes the little girl that is her daughter and takes her body as well. We cannot sit there and tolerate that. See, all of this is domestic violence. We cannot have young men sitting around and where another man does not know himself, even from coming up from a bad household himself, he begins to take off another young man. See, that's the domestic violence I see going on right now. We cannot sit back and act like we don't see this, we don't hear this. So we have to put a check on that. And once that is checked, we can begin to cultivate and, we teach the black man, we teach the black woman again of what their existence is for in the first place. They cannot sit around here and then just be what the former and past have been, some of them have been, in terms of the violence of the domestic life that does not sit good with our community. So in our teaching, the women here, they're very much respected. We say a nation can rise no higher than its woman. You know the saying goes, when you teach a woman, you teach a nation. When you teach a man, you teach an individual. But at the same time, she has to be the one that is the queen that sits on top of Earth. She's the queen of the planet Earth. The brother, he's the one that's going to help her stand up, because he becomes the backbone. And we say no nation can rise no higher than its woman. But she has to stand up What's the backbone of her back? And that's that black man standing tall, right by her side, saying, I got your back, sis. Go ahead and do what you got to do. He's a provider. He's a maintainer. See? He does right for his family. He has to have a family. And today, I like to promote this. There's nothing wrong for a young black man today at the right age trying to find himself a wife. There's nothing wrong with a young man at the right age learning how to take care of his wife, like I have done for the last over 32 years. There's nothing wrong with that because you are beginning to set the stage for other black men to take. Look, I like the way that brother did that. Yeah, he's taking care of his wife. Those are his sons and daughters. See, after a while, they say, that is a style that I like to see happen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then that will actually put a ceiling to this domestic violence. It will stop among us in our own community. We cannot copy off of TV and watch what they do on television and bring it home to our lady or our wife, whatever. We cannot come home to her and then say, I learned this in the street, and I'm going to do this to you. No. And she cannot do the same thing to her. So it's a lesson. There needs to be some teaching on how to cultivate a marriage, how to keep a marriage, how to stay in love with each other, and what it really stands for, even from the point of a child being birthed from his or her mother's womb up to becoming a child that may be an older son or older daughter at a later age. They would know what to do because they came up the right way.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's very good. Just before I give to you, Sister Cassandra, I'm going to play this song right here. It's called My Generation Would Make a Change, and that'll give the most chance to get a little water if he needs some, and then we'll be right back with him. All right.
Okay.
Now me love to see the school as them a graduate. I study hard and save the party for the holidays. Diplomatic with them diploma and them won't be great. Because them not pick up, no mastic and a perpetrate. And then I love the energies where them a generate. My generation is a specialist, will make a change. Because the yellow for the seed and it a germinate. So anytime them see the progress, them a celebrate. Because we're rising up despite of the economy. And then now we are starting show like the astronomy. And now we keep on breaking through is an anomaly. Because we keep remaining true without apology. The mission that we carry through and finish properly. The Gambia to Guadeloupe, Paris to Napoli. The Zambia to Honolulu, back to Tripoli. And everybody wants a future living happily.
Subject to gentrification, depicting their frustrations over ill instrumentation. Cause music is the way to convey to you what I'm facing. Placing my life in front of your eye for your observation. Now if you can't relate, then maybe you are too complacent. Athletes today are scared to make Muhammad Ali statements. What's up with tomorrow? Will you lead? Will you follow? Improve your values. Education is real power. I reach them like Bono. So get rid of your self-sorrow. As a Verano. Get wealthy like Wells Fargo. It's true that I am you, and I am proof, surviving through. We do what we gotta do. Yo, we can break the cycle, let nobody lie to you. Then maybe put our sons and our daughters in private school. Cause there's a mission we gotta finish before we leave. This generation is destined to do historic deeds.
All right, child, all right. I just wanted to play a little of that. Our generation, my generation, your generation, we will make a change. To all the guests that are joining us, we are speaking to the student minister, Abdul Qadir Muhammad, and I bring my sister, and also our co-host is that mighty MGG, Sister Cassandra.
Oh,
all right, Sister Cassandra, I'm going to yield back to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Abdul. And I'm still kind of stuck on the point where you were just now. I thought that was such an excellent point that student minister Khadid just made, you know, about the young people, because I think, at least from, you know, my understanding, the young brothers, they feel like maybe around in the 30s or so is when you should start to get married. But to start young, maybe, you know, around 19, 20, and then grow into that, that's kind of what Sister Nisa was talking to us about, Brother Drew, when she was talking about marriage, you know, to teach them at an early age about being somebody's husband and being somebody's wife, where they, you know, have that mindset rather than just getting involved in a bunch of bad relationships until you get around in your 30s and then decide, okay, I want to settle down now. Okay, I just wanted to add that point. But Minister Khadir, I know we're kind of shifting back and forth here and there. What I wanted to talk about mainly is the Million Man March and getting ready, you know, for the Holy Day of Atonement. But before we get, you know, into the Holy Day of Atonement celebration next weekend, I want to talk a little bit about the march in 1995. On my program, I didn't really get into too much of your experience, but can you kind of share a little bit about your experience that day going to the march? You know, what your feelings were when you were out there on the mall?
Okay. Well, I, at that time, I was one of the persons that had to drive in or came in on buses. And I was traveling from New Jersey at that time to Washington. I came late that night, and I checked in at the hotel that I was going to stay at for the night. And then I wanted to just to go down and take a peep at where the setup would be. And, you know, just to see, you know, where I could come for tomorrow, the next day, following day, and I could be on time at this same location I wanted to go. So it was around about 11:30 that night. I went, checked in and went down to the mall, walked down. And when I got to the mall, it was such a blessing, interesting to see that a lot of the people were already there.
Wow.
And that was a mind blower. I said, wow. They were already there waiting for the next day to receive their marching orders. But you saw, I saw groups of different types of men from all different walks of life, and mainly our brothers from the church. And they came with their church banners, they came with their choir, whatever. But he was there, and I was able to experience some of the Muslim brothers, you know, in ranks, as we would say, standing in line. And there were some with their banners from other organizations, that, you know, some of the community leadership in some of the cities. And everybody was ready there to receive the next day marching orders from our beloved brother, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So in that regard, on the next day, I experienced where there was no rough talking to each other at all. If you bump into a brother, oh, pardon me, brother, excuse me, sir, please. I'm sorry. Forgive me, brother. No, brother, let me forgive you first. It was like that type of a trip. And when you wanted to get a helping hand across over a barrier, you wanted to cross over some sort of a bush, they were, come on. Come on, brother, we'll help you out. Take my hand. They was always reaching out to you, and you did the same thing to them. And the whole night, the next morning, as it packed up, believe me, it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. And I never knew how much love can be, let's say, measured among us as black men now, just black men, where you would think that it would be just the opposite. No, it was some true, sick love among the black men on that mall that day, and we had a good time, a great time. It was no party now. It was an experience to receive our next steps of what we should do and to make our lives much better. And we got that from many of the speakers and mainly from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Wow. Yes, sir.
That's my experience.
Yes. Do you remember the pledge, you know, when the brothers were when you all were taking the pledge?
I can't recall that right now.
Oh, okay.
I can't recall that right now off the top of my head like that, but I do know we had a pledge we had to take. And that one of them was coming home and to take the full responsibility for taking care of our families. It slips my mind at this time. Another one was going back home and dealing with our sons and making sure they was properly guided in the proper way. But no, I don't have that right now. That does slip my mind at this particular time.
Oh, okay. Yes, sir. Because I'm, you know, I just be trying to capture, you know, all the moments that I can think of, you know, and just bring them back to surface. But, you know, like I said, I just kind of want to get the story out of the Million Man March, because the way, if you wait on the media, it's as if it never even happened. You know, they have written the Million Man March out of history. And so I'm just, you know, trying to do what I can to keep our stories, you know, to have our stories told. Okay, so on that note, Inspector Deer, I want to talk a little bit about the Day of Atonement that is coming up for next Sunday. I know that they're starting from, I think it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan keynoting the Holy Day of Atonement. Can you talk a little bit about that, the upcoming Holy Day of Atonement?
Well, it's called the 16th anniversary of the Million Man March.
Mm-hmm.
And that when you say atonement at this point, you might not get everybody you want to get involved. Because at the Million Man March, we didn't mention too much of a call in terms of where the atonement may come from, because we just dealt with this black man coming to the mall and receiving the instructions. This particular 16th anniversary, we're asking for the family to come. That's the man, the black man or whoever, the man, the wife, you know, the sister, whatever, the children to come and to be there. And again, to get instructions on their guidance and warning about what today's call for this life is all about and where we are. This will never go away, Holy Day of Atonement, or this day that you mentioned in terms of what we do on that day. On the Atonement Day, when it's mentioned, we actually have a fast for the whole day, and nobody on that day eats from sun up to sundown. But that's on the day itself. That's on the 16th. But the same token, you know, we haven't received any word about how it will be done this year in terms of that, but we do know that the weekend celebration will be dealing with the call for prayer with us for the Muslims on Friday, Juma prayer, and then for Saturday, it's a big meeting with the young brothers and sisters, the youth leadership from all over this part of the Delaware, East and the Mid-Atlantic areas, where we're going to call them in together, and they're going to receive an addressed message from the Honorable Minister Farrakhan. There might be a few other things that can be done on Saturday, and then, of course, on Sunday is the big day there at the Convention Center at 1101 R Street, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and it does open up at 12 o'clock, and the program starts at 2, and then we expect to receive again more of our guidance from our great brother today, who is with us today, and where, you know, a lot of us talk about, well, I wish I'd have been around when Dr. King was here. I wish I'd been around when Muhammad Ali was here, I wish I'd been around when so-and-so was there. Listen, people, come on now. The brother is in your midst.
Go ahead.
Right here today in living color. Come on. Mm-hmm. You never know, you know, what day it may be that we all would probably have our last time spending time together. Why don't we come together again in Philadelphia and be there and show our love for each other again for the 16th time? And if you are 15 years old, well, you know, maybe today you can be introduced to that. 14 years old, yes. But 17 years old, even then you were just 1 year old. 18, you was only 2. 19, you was only 3. Come on and be with us and spend a lovely time with a man that you could come and see with your own eyes and hear with your own ears about the way you know how he spoke to you that day, and others cannot tell you what the man he would be because you heard him for yourself. And so that's some of what we're going to be involved with on that particular day, and I look forward to being there with you and Brother Drew and others, and to have a good time.
Yes, sir.
On the 60th anniversary of the Men Meant March.
Yes, and, you know, we're taking buses from, the bus is going to be leaving from the mosque.
We're having buses, I can say, from as far as where I understand, from all of Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina. We may have some from Tennessee. We may have a few from Alabama. We got some from the Virginia area, Washington, D.C. We're going to leave from the mosque in Washington, D.C. We got some from Baltimore, all around New Jersey, let's say the northern cap of New Jersey, in New York City. We have the Bridgeport, Connecticut area, Hartford, Connecticut, Springfield, Mass. You know, we got buses coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Let everybody know this is the 16th anniversary of the Million Man March.
Yes, sir. And Mr. Kadir, I think Brother Drew, they're supposed to be coming up from Texas on a bus.
Texas, right now.
Yes. Yes, sir. Brother Drew, what are you bringing, 1,000 brothers with you, or what?
That's a good one. That's a good one. Not just brothers in the local organizing committee, brothers in Mosque 52, 48, and, you know, organizing other brothers that might not even be with the nation to join us up there in Philadelphia.
Yes.
So there's some things going on, you know, behind the scenes. So we're trying to get brothers and sisters up there to come to hear the minister speak. Okay, so back on me, I'm going to ask you about the discipline in the nation. This is one of the most the beautiful thing you can ever see, the discipline that the brothers and the sisters show. Would you like to speak on that?
You asked about the discipline that we show?
Yes, sir. You know, it's kind of unprecedented when you look around to see how disciplined the brothers and sisters are. You know, just speak. I mean, you know, what makes a person that disciplined?
Well, first of all, the classes are separated, where even when you come to a mosque meeting, the brothers sit with the brothers and the sisters sit with the sisters. Immediately, that brings some sort of curiosity. Well, brother, what's going on here? No, we want to just sit in your seat, brother. Don't worry about it. She's all right. She's on the other side. She'll be taken care of. And they're beginning to recognize the posture, you know, the extreme courtesy, although cut with the military, you know, expanding this particular brother's stance in terms of what he believes in. The eating habits that we offered from the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad's books, How to Eat to Live, Book 1, How to Eat to Live, Book 2, and the eating of one meal a day, and that how we fast every month, the first 3 days of the beginning of the month. And by fasting, we got to actually bring you in line with not worrying too much about the urge for food and the appetite for other appetites itself. And then with that in mind, with that as a focus, you have time to work on self and look in terms of how can I better myself? Care of your health and how to, you know, keep yourself looking slim and trim, many of us, and keep yourself with your hair cut and hair done. Yes. And then our sisters, what they do, they wear a garment that covers their body, where a brother can't see what he thought he would like to see. Everything is covered. You ain't have to worry about looking at nothing but just her face, and that don't take too long to look at because we don't gaze always at our sisters. Brother comes up to a sister, he drops his gaze, and he don't look at her face to face. And these are the kind of things that keep us in mind. And then there's the word that they call the sisters, the MGT and GCC.
Yes.
How she knows at this particular time that she's a Muslim girl in training. Nowhere in the Bible where it expresses to the fact that it's a fuss or a fight over why we would say that she's a girl. The Bible calls us all children of God. So it's not wrong with calling her, you know, a girl, because she, in the eyesight of God, is a girl. Then it's called the general civilization class. How to learn how to keep, you know, class or how to keep our lifestyle in a civilized manner. Then it goes back again to the black man, FOI, the fruit of Islam. He's the best part of the tree, of the tree. He's the best part. He has to be ripe, you know, fully developed. You know, what woman wants to marry a brother that does not have his, let's say, his lifestyle together? He got to have a job before he gets married. He got to have, you know, his money saved before he gets married. I mean, a lot of information is needed before he gets married, even asks for a sister. It's a lot of discipline. And once he and she is married, or once they understand what this lifestyle is all about, it is a posture that brings even the children in line, and they can't wait to get to the class. They can't wait to learn about God. They can't wait to learn about the most honorable life's mama. They cannot wait to even shake and meet the honorable Farrakhan's. They can't wait to learn how to become a strong black man, even for the young girls, a strong black a young lady for God himself. And that's an aspect of us learning how to reach to the very top and become God's chosen people of the planet Earth. So that's where that discipline comes in at. I would say it like that.
Okay. Oh, that's very good. I'm going to ask you one more question. When it comes down to courtship, what's the rules about, you know, I've been hearing a lot on Facebook, seeing a lot of brothers and sisters talk about courtship. So what's the concept behind the courtship and the chaperones?
Let me make it plain, real plain. You know, when that brother, sometime he goes to court and he's charged with a charge, he always gets dressed up with his finest suit. Puts on his necktie and his shirt. He got a little cologne on, and he stands before the judge. All right? And then if she goes to court for some similar charge, she may have she puts the best dress on or whatever, and she goes before the judge with her hair done and everything. Now, when they court, either two is the judge. And in different situations, the other one is dressed to the teeth, clean. And then they began to ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
And they begin to go back and forth. Now, but once they leave that courtroom, let's say, and they return back to normal business, you will find that person, that individual, the way that they normally are. And you will say, this is what you was hiding behind my back. This is the real you now. So courting means to bring up all the facts, all the evidence, all the hidden things that you normally would not talk about and present it to the brother or to the sister that may ask you questions. Of course, you. And the most important thing is always ask the hard questions first. Always ask the hard questions first, because these are the very questions later on down the road that come back up in your relationship if you're married. And you would probably tell the brother, you'd probably tell the sister, you know, you didn't tell me that while we was courting. those hard questions and those particular questions that he needs to know about and she must know, tell them about that. Now, when you're married, let's say if a brother has children from a previous young lady, whatever, and the young lady, when she marries him plus everybody behind him that's attached to him. That's called marriage. And vice versa with the brother. He marries all that which is behind her. Now, but we cannot have a marriage 1 month in divorce the next month. So this court procedure is actually like a true courtship. You have to come with your facts and present them, because we are not going to start in the Nation of Islam a welfare system.
Mm-hmm.
You marry her for 1 month, and you divorce her, you marry somebody else. Oh, no, 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 no.
Mm-hmm.
See, we're repeating a cycle of Satan's world. We don't want that in ours. But the lifestyle of being married, dear brother and sister, is so wonderful. And, you know, like sometimes, you know, the brother, before he even asks for the sister, he got to go talk to her father. Mr. Green, who are you? Well, sir, and then he begins to ask him questions to see if he would mind, if he would court his property and ask him questions about his property. He would give a lean and say, yeah or nay. But at the same time, dear family, these are the steps that I do know would encourage us to always have a marriage that's always going to go straight and forward and down the line and down the line. Yes, an argument may come up or two, but like I do with my wife sometimes, and we have a little argument, and I'll stop it. And I say, hold on. She says, what's wrong now? You still love me? Yeah, I do. All right, let's keep on arguing then. You know, because it don't mean, my main point is, you know, we're going to get past this. But at the same time, where are you going? Where I'm going? It's just a little, you know, disagreement, but we don't have to be disagreeable.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is a lot more to that. So it's just a small beginning. And one last thing, dear brother, I'm going to say this and sister. The way they have the engagement for 3 years in the world that is up to date, engagement means contact. You engage, you have contact.
Uh-huh.
But we don't believe in having contact for the first 3 years. You give him or her an engagement ring to solidify contact. No, there's no contact in our courtship. You get married first, then there's contact.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
No, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That was real good.
Okay.
So for Saturday, go ahead.
Okay. On that same note, because someone asked me that the other day, the process, you know, for the nation, you know, how if a brother outside of the nation wanted to court a sister. These are some questions, you know, some people asked me the other day, Ms. Kadir, and I told them that you would go to the minister and then it would go to the captain and she would make it known to the sister. I'm not sure about the process because I haven't been in it, you know, before, but is that how it works?
You said, you first started, you said if a brother from outside the nation, you said?
Yes, sir. They asked okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I was asked, could someone outside of the nation court someone in the nation?
I can answer real quick, no.
Okay. Yes, sir.
That's a good answer. Everybody's listening. Because straight up.
Okay.
She will eventually follow his ways.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's eating things and chasing deer and rabbit and possums and whatnot and eating that at night and whatnot, and if he ain't living right with the front door wide open at night, then she will eventually follow his ways. So he has to come over and get inside the law of Islam as we teach. And not even worry about her right at that point and work on himself. You know, and get himself together first. Then he may want to still be interested, and if not, because he got so much work to do on himself.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right, and I can testify to that. I, you know, having a few daughters and not seeing them grow up with this knowledge, and then they friends that they courted and whom they now married you, and they the only thing I can say they didn't transcend on, they don't need point, but they did start taking on some of the ways of the Canaanites because that person that they got in, you know, didn't have the same knowledge that we had. So I can't testify to that one.
Yeah.
It happens, bro.
Okay.
Now, the opposite is this. Well, let's say if it's a sister or, you know, the vice versa. See, they all should be inside because, look, we are building what we're calling it the nation of Islam. It's not a building. It's not buildings. We're talking about a government structure on how a new design life will be. We're going to call it the kingdom of God.
Yes, sir. Yes.
We cannot allow the old way that has caused a lot of destructive means in this lifestyle to be invited into our house.
Mm-hmm.
Our houses.
Yeah. All right. That was very good. That was very good, Minister. I want to play 2 minutes of this song, and I want to ask the minister his opinions on this here, because I know he might have a few opinions. Just play 2 minutes of this song right here.
Southern trees bear a strange fruit, blood on the leaves, blood at the root, black bodies swinging in the gallery.
For this crime I didn't do. This white girl identified me as a rapist, had me wishing I was Harry Houdini, the great escapist. But waited more, check it out, the plot thickens. Shorty started telling motels and Charles Dickens. She said I kidnapped her, trapped her, slapped her. Then after I tapped her, I fled through the passing. Nah, for me, cuz knew I'd get acquitted. But seen every white face in town, knew I did it or done it. Shit about 100 approaching white figures, bearing trigger, screaming, kill that nigga. I'm getting nervous, just a little concerned, cause in the south where I'm from, niggas will get burned. Cause them whiteys on protection, so I'm hanging by your neck shit. Oh well, I'm in jail, man, I figure I'm protected. To trust the police, them cops ain't even yell freeze. They just gave them all the keys. They beat me like I stole something. Pistol whipped me like a stick-up. Tied my hands behind my back, tied my feet to the bumper of a pickup truck. Now I'm getting shucked like corn, being drugged through the town, face down to the gravel. My clothes and skin unravel. I guess I'm guilty. The lynch mob dropped the gavel. They took me to a tree, hung me naked by my wrist. When I beg and I plead, I can't take it like this. They shoved a pole in my mouth. Cause you see down south, lynching was a show. Everybody came out. See the mothers brought their daughters to come and check the slaughters. And fathers brought their son to see how it was done. They brung everyone from the old to the young. Cause it really wasn't nothing to see a nigga get hung. Word.
All right, we're back with you. I was playing that clip because right now, you know, in 2011, we still have brothers getting hung in trees. Just last year, 2010, a 25-year-old sister, Teresa Arwan, was dragged behind a pickup in Oakmont, Texas. So, Minister, I was just trying to, just playing that song to see what's your opinion on what's going on with this racism we face.
Well, a lot of us are big brother. You know, the blood that is spilt by us, I do know every time that it happens, the God, the creator, the Allah that we know has his way of taking his revenge, because we are those that are the innocent. And the scourge of this racial attack on us in terms of this slavery mode or this attitude still exists due to the fact that we have not gotten to the point of making Satan himself void and putting an end to that. The powers that be that control even the way this so-called government is structured. There are families all over the world, all over this country, that think that they still have the right to do what they want to do. But it's going to come a time one day that when you never know when the rhythm of this and the spirit of us as a people will understand at the same time with a momentum that may just pick up across the country. All of a sudden, it may just electrify in different places, where people that continue to do that to other people, they're going to get tired of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it may just be something that they cannot control. So the best way I can say is that we must reach our brothers and sisters with this knowledge that we do have and get them to understand
mm-hmm.
that to always watch their back when they walk the streets. Go out in twos, go out in threes. And make sure that you're living in an area that you know our people are at. And stay among us and keep yourselves physically fit, because one day it's going to be the wrong person. And it may just cause a great difference among us as a people, because we can't keep allowing this to happen and nobody says anything.
Yes, sir.
So that's what I'd like to say about that.
All right. Well, I see we have some callers online. If you want to ask any questions to Minister, Student Minister Kadir Muhammad, just press 1 on your phone. I see we have Washington, D.C., Texas, and some area codes I'm not familiar with. So just press 1 on your phone, and we'll get you right in, and you can ask some questions. Okay, Sister Cassandra, I yield to you right there.
Okay. Well, I wanted to add, it's kind of going back a little bit, but when we were talking about the brothers and sisters of discipline, you know, I want to add from the sister perspective, Brother Drew, you know, we have the MGT and GCC, as Ms. Adil was just saying, and we have 7 units, you know, of how to take care of our husbands, how to rear our children, how to act at home and abroad, you know, how to cook, how to sew. All of these, you learn these things. You learn those principles and stuff, and you become disciplined. There's many, many things in the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad that, you know, will grow you into this discipline. You know, the fasting, how to eat to live, all of that, you know, it strengthens you, especially the fasting. It strengthens you into, you know, becoming more of a disciplined person. And then, you know, there's like a military wing to this as well, where you, you know, you you drill and, you know, do those type of things, which also contribute to being disciplined. So I just wanted to add, you know, that part, and to any sister, you know, that is listening, that is not registered in the nation, you know, come home is what I would say. Come home. This is a beautiful sisterhood. There's nowhere on this earth where you're going to go where you have black women that come together every weekend and learn these different types of things. When you first come into the nation, you will go through a processing, so you won't immediately be in the class, but you know, you come in, you process, ask those questions that you may be curious about the nation. But this is a beautiful sisterhood. You will not find this anywhere on this earth of black women coming together and brothers. You know, Minister Kadir could probably, you know, speak on the brothers, but to come together like this, nowhere. It is beautiful. I've been in the Nation of Islam going on 15 years now. This is my own private testimony, Brother Drew. There's nowhere, you know, there's nothing that could tempt me to want to leave the nation. That is death to me. The Nation of Islam, this is life. You know, coming into life, this is a salvation for our people. Okay, so I just wanted to add that part. Do you know, if you, you know, want to tell the brothers, you know, why, you know, the Nation of Islam is the place to be? I don't know. I'm sorry. My questions, you know, may not be coming out right, but that's, you know, why should the brothers want to be in the Nation of Islam?
Well, again, I said it earlier a little bit, maybe. There's no other place like you just said. You know, at the end of the road, for me, was a choice to make up my mind what I wanted to do. And to think that the street life is the way, liquor, you know, the dope and the heroin, the cocaine, come on. I mean, enough is enough. And to a point right now where you can set me in a room with either one of those, you won't find a drop of liquor drunk or a snort, sniffled, or you won't find a piece of reefer even burned, because I am through with it. Satan has no more room in my body. And when that was developed in me, it came from the teachers and the class training of the mighty FOI. And we have class on how to get away from this, how to get ourselves together overnight, But you, as a brother, have to be willing to say, listen, I'm ready to let this other life go, and I'm going to try the life of righteousness. The Bible says that broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, but that way that goes straight to God, I'm changing the words a little bit, that way that leadeth to God is a narrow, straight path. And that's like somebody trying to walk a tightrope up in the air, trying to walk in the way of righteousness towards God. And that's the kind of path that we're all on. At the same time, it's a blazing path with fire, because at the same time, it burns away all the other sins that we used to have in our mind and our thinking about what we can do. We was once upon a time so-called Negroes. We now know I am one who submits my life entirely, completely to do God's will. And I am a Muslim. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
All right. Minister, what is, if a person wanted to join the nation, what's the process of joining the nation?
Well, they can now come to the nearest mosque, or we have now what they call study groups, where we officiate the study of the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Minister Farrakhan, where they have a chance to come and ask for a chance to process and to take out their letter, which is like the Shahadat, where the Muslim will say, I bear witness there's no God but Allah, and that Muhammad is his messenger. We say the same thing, but it's on paper. It's a written statement. There's just no talk about it, and nobody's not held accountable. And then from that, we take the letter, we begin the process. It goes and it's sent to our headquarters, and headquarters sends a response back with the form two. It goes back again. And after a while, when all the forms are done, they have to give a little guarantee of questions that we're asking about, you know, who is the original man, who is the Asiatic, you know, he can answer well, he's the Asiatic black man that make it the only cream of the planet of God in the universe. That's the answer he'll give. You might ask him who's a colored man. I mean, things that he should know generally from the very top. And after that, he gets his ex, or she gets her ex, and we go on from there. But that's just the beginning. You have to do some work and some sort of written work to let us know that you are very, very interested in this lifestyle.
All right. Appreciate it. We'll extend anyone who wants to ask any questions, please get your questions in now. We're down to the last 10 minutes of the program. And also, I have a clip I want to play about from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and also from one of the last Holy Day of Atonement. We'll play that at the very end of the program. It's about 10 minutes long. So, Sister Cassandra, any more questions?
No, I don't really have any questions right now, but I kind of just wanted to end with, you know, the focus once again on and March, you know, and just to continue to push that, you know, I think is a number. Ms. Kadir, if you could tell me the number, you know, from the mosque, I can post it in the chat room of where anyone can call, you know, if they want to get on the bus. You know, still we have a week left, so, you know, if you could tell me the number, I can post it in the chat room. But I just want to end with that, Brother Drew, and, you know, saying to our people, if you, along the East Coast and the Mid-Atlantic region especially, you can get to Philadelphia, start preparing now to be there. You don't want to miss this message that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is going to give to us. This is the man of God in our midst today, and everyone should really, you know, do whatever you can to try to hear what he has to say to us. This is for all of us. It's not just Muslims, you know, or a certain group. This is for all of our people. Okay, you know, so that's
okay.
The note.
Okay, Minister, you have Minister, you have any closing remarks?
Well, I'd like to say this to both of you. I enjoyed myself thoroughly, and again, I was a little late, but I was waiting for the time, the correct time. But let me say to the listening audience that is listening, you know, we don't have too much time left to make up our minds and to decide what we would like to do. We witnessed Hurricane Irene to come through. We witnessed the shaking that we was told and warned by Brother Farrakhan that this would take place. And this is not the big one. You know, the minister has said to us many steps that would take place in this world that we're living in right now, and it is happening. What else does it take for him to say to you that it's end of this certain time of this lifestyle that it is now over? Don't wait too late, brothers and sisters. Come on home to your own kind and be with the Honorable Minister of Farrakhan. I thank you, dear brother Drew and sister Cassandra. Thank you so kindly for having me on your show.
All right, awesome. Thank you, brother. Okay, everybody, we're going to play a clip from the minister, Louis Farrakhan, from our previous Day of Atonement. And after that, we'll end the program.
Thank you.
Oh, yes, thank both of you and thank the minister for taking out his time to help educate and liberate our brothers and sisters. That's what we do with this Black Nation Task Force. We give everybody that's on the, that's working on the behalf of our brothers and sisters opportunity to speak of their organization, their group, or whatever. You know, we don't hold no prejudice here. We just about freeing ourselves and our people. All right, let's see, let's find that clip. And we'll be right with y'all. All right, here's the
brothers
clip,
and sisters,
we say, I thank all our guests. And
we are
everybody.
Taught in history. We are taught that history is best qualified and most attractive to reward our research. History has taught us that in times past, in times of trouble, God would never leave the people comfortless. He would always raise up men and women, that ordinary men in their person, ordinary men in their look, but extraordinary men and women in that they were imbued with the Spirit of God. And they were imbued to such an extent that they would be able to solve the ills and the problems that faced the community, even though they had scientists and scholars during their times that were unable to solve the problems. These men and women who were imbued with this Spirit of God were able to solve these problems. You and I were not there with Moses when he was called by God, nor were we there with Joshua when he led the battles of Jericho. We were not there with Jesus when he brought the great revelation of the gospel, nor were we there with the great apostles as they established Christianity throughout the world. We were not there with Muhammad, peace be upon him, when the great revelation of God for that Quran, book, Holy Quran, was revealed to him. We were not there with the great caliphate as they traveled throughout the earth and established in the great faith of Islam. You and I were not there with Marcus Garvey when he came and he began to build in America for our people. We were not there with many of the great leaders that we mention or read about in our books, but we are blessed today here in the city of Memphis to hear from a man who is imbued with the Spirit of God. He's a man that is so imbued that he can see the troubles of the times that we live. And while the social scientists can't solve the problem, while all of the religious leaders can't find a way to solve the problem, God has given us a man. And I stand here before and I say, you and I are blessed people, that while we didn't hear Muhammad, we didn't hear Jesus or Moses, we are blessed to hear from a man of God today here in the city of Memphis. So I ask you, stand on your feet, bring him on with a warm round of applause. Show this world that you love him. I bring to you the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Clap, brothers and sisters. Show him. Show him that you love him. Here he is. All praise with his wife, Mother Khadija Farrakhan. Praises are due to Allah. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
Put any other names on there, right? Sure. The minister of
Allah. Allah Akbar.
Allah Akbar.
Thank you. Thank you. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, we give Him praise and thanks for His many blessings to the members of the human family. That whenever any member of our family strays from his straight path and loses his divine favor, before he punishes, he always raises from among the guilty people a messenger, a warner, a prophet, to whom he gives that which is called divine revelation, by means of which he guides a fallen people or nation back to his straight path. We thank him for Moses and the Torah. We thank him for Jesus and the gospel. We thank him for Muhammad and the Quran. Peace be upon these worthy servants of Allah. As a student of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, I could never thank Allah enough for his intervention in our affairs in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, the great Mahdi, who came among us and raised from among us his messenger, whom all will soon know as the promised Messiah, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I greet you all in the greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. Before I begin, I want to offer an apology to brothers and sisters of the Nation of Islam who might have been so tired they fell asleep during a part of a very important message. I thought about it through the night. And I said, I have to apologize to the believers who traveled through the night, worked very hard through the day, and not desiring to fall asleep, happened to fall asleep. But it reminded me of the Garden of Gethsemane. When Jesus knew that the hour had approached, he was in the garden praying until sweat fell from his brow like blood. And when he got up from his prayer, he went out and the disciples had fallen asleep. And he raised a very important question. Could ye not watch with me one brief hour?
Yes, sir.
This is a very dark and dangerous hour.
Yes, sir.
For any of us to fall asleep. And sometimes there are things that you can take that if you're tired, they wake you up, or if you're tired and you want to go to sleep, you're put to sleep. Babies sometimes need the breast or the bottle, and if the breast or the bottle is not present, a pacifier will do, but usually the baby will fall asleep. This is a very dangerous time, and we have to be very careful that the masses of the people are not being pacified by the fact that the first black president sits in the White House. This can pacify you.
Yes,
and lull you to sleep in a dangerous time, making you to think that we live in a post-racial America when the opposite is true. So I just wanted to make that apology, and I pray that those who might have been offended will forgive me for being brash.
Allahu Akbar, Al-Mahdi, Rasulullah, to be the land set the black man free. Allahu Akbar, Al-Mahdi, Rasulullah, to be the land set the black man free. Allahu Akbar, Al-Mahdi, Rasulullah, to be the land set the black man free. Allahu Akbar, Al-Mahdi, Rasulullah, to be the land set the black man free. Cannot and juvenile don't justify the genocide.
All right, y'all. We thank everybody for attending the program, and we thank the Minister Abdul Qadir Muhammad. We thank my co-host, that mighty MGT, Sister Cassandra. We thank all our brothers and sisters that's calling out of the Washington area code, the Texas area code. We thank our brothers and sisters who follow the program that's in the chat room. And we thank you all. You know, this is the Black Nation Task Force, brothers and sisters coming together to do some work. You know, when we say task, that means no talking. So that's what we're doing. And we network with all our brothers and sisters and all organizations to liberate ourselves and our people. And we thank you all for coming out. And we say assalamu alaikum and black power. Peace. We out.